The fifth parak continues with the daily routine of the Beis HaMikdash, and we saw in the prior parak that there were actually four lotteries that were used in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis to divide up the avoda between the Kohanim. The first one was the Truma Sedeshin. That was early in the morning. Who's going to take off some of the ash off of the Mizbeach? Number two was the Korban Tamid in particular. Who is going to do the Shechita and the Zrika and move various parts of the Korban Tamid after it's carved up onto the Kevish, onto the ramp that led up to the Mizbeach? And also who are going to move associated items, for example, the flour for the Korban Mincha and the wine that would be used in the wine libations. And now Mishnah Aleph in our parak is going to continue with the daily process. We are now in the Lishkas HaGazis. That's where these lotteries were done. The second lottery, third lottery, fourth lottery, that was done in the Lishkas HaGazis. And now at this point, after the various parts, the limbs of the Korban Tamid have been placed on the bottom of the Mizbeach, the Mishnah continues, Amar Lehem HaMemunah. So this is Mishnah Aleph, the Memunah, the person who's orchestrating all of this, the Kohen, the Skan Kohen, who would orchestrate everything that's going on here, the Paisos, the lotteries, and the like, giving him the instructions. He made the following announcement, Baruch Hu Bracha Achas. You should say one bracha. What bracha is that? So the Gemara tells us that's the bracha of Ahava Rabba, right before the Kriya Shema. The bracha before that, Yotzer Or, was said later on. The order is not me'akev. The order doesn't prevent doing the mitzvah. So accordingly, Ahava Rabba was done now. Yotzer Or was said later on, at the time of sunrise, or before, right before, after sunrise. But now it's a little bit too early to say Yotzer Or. So that bracha achas Ahava Rabba ben Baruch, when they said that bracha Ahava Rabba, karu aseres hadvarim, they said the aseres hadibras, and also the three parshios of Kriya Shema, Shema, Vayayim Shemoa, Vayomer. So those are the three parshios of Kriya Shema, and continued. They said a little bit of the davening, but for a specific purpose, as we'll explain shortly. Berchu es ha'am shalosh bracha. They said three specific brachas together with Klal Yisrael. Emes v'yatziv, that's the bracha right after the Kriyat Shema. And then va'avoda. Va'avoda is talking about the bracha of Retzei Hashem Elokeinu that we have in our Shemona Esrei. And also Birkas Kohanim, not the actual Birkas Kohanim, giving the bracha to Klal Yisrael, including saying the bracha in advance of it, Mavarecha Samo Yisrael Ba'ava, but rather they just said the three psukim of the Birkas Kohanim. Now the Bartanur says something very important. He says this is not the Shemona Esrei, although we see that even one of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei is being said, Retzei Hashem Elokeinu, but the entire Shemona Esrei would be said later on. The whole point of this tefillah, Voda, etc., is that the Kohanim are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Korban Tamid would be mekubal baratzon, would be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it should be desirous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and accordingly, that's the specific tefillah that they're having now in the Lishkas HaGazis, but not that it is in place of their Shemona Esrei. And continuing, Ubashabes, Mosivim Bracha Aschas, the Mishmar Yotze, and Shabbos, there would be an additional bracha that the Kohanim would say at this point. And Shabbos is the time that the Mishmar, those were the Kohanim that served on a weekly basis, there are 24 Mishmaros, there would be a changing of the guard effectively, that one Mishmar would be leaving, the one that served in the prior week, and the new Mishmar that is coming in for the current week would be coming in. So the bracha was given by the Kohanim who were leaving to those who were arriving, and they had a beautiful bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was shochen the Shechina on this bais, on the base of Mikdash, he should also, the Shechina should depend upon, descend upon you, ahava, and also you should have ahava, you should have, he should bring between you the Kohanim that are going to be working for the current week, the upcoming week, ahava v'achla shalom v'reyu. So that's why there was an additional bracha that was added on Shabbos, because we have the Kohanim who were leaving, giving a bracha to those who are coming. Both mishmaros worked on Shabbos. This would be the last day for those who are leaving, and the first day for those who are coming. Mishnah Beis tells us about the last two of the lotteries. We're just going to see it on a very high level and then get into more detail later in the Mishnayos. Amar Lehen, so this Memunah, the person who's orchestrating, the Kohen is orchestrating everything, says to them as follows, for the third lottery, Chadashim leKetores Bo'u V'Afisu, those who have never received the Ketores, who have never done the Avodah of the Ketores, come and participate in the lottery. You were only permitted to do the Ketores once. It was high demand because there's a bracha, it's based on Psukim, that a Kohen who does the Ketores would receive a bracha of Ashirus of wealth. Accordingly, because of that demand, they decided that you can only do it once. We want to make sure to spread around the wealth. We want to make sure to spread around this avodah, the Ketores, so every Kohen has an opportunity. So that's why it says, La Ketores, Chadashim La Ketores, those who haven't had it, the new ones for Ketores, come and participate in the lottery. Hefisu Zacha Misha Zacha. And they did the lottery, and whoever merited it, whoever won the lottery. We will get back to discussing the Ketores shortly. The continuation of the Mishnah says, with the fourth lottery, it's not only limited to those who have never had it before, this had less demand, so even Kohanim who have done this Avodah, they will participate. Chadashim im Yeshanim, those who are new to this, those who have already done it in the past, Bov Afisu, come and participate in the fourth lottery. Mil na'ale evari mina kevesh lamizbeach, which of those Kohanim, after they've had the davening and the Kriyat Shema and the like, will be continuing the process of the Korban Tamid, who will bring the limbs of the Korban Tamid and all the other items that were left on the bottom of the Kevesh, on the bottom of the ram, up to the Mizbeach in order to bring those items on the Mizbeach. So that is the primary view, the Sheet of Chachamim, that fourth lottery covered the Korban Tamid, continuing the vote of the Korban Tamid. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, he disagrees. Hamale Eivarin the Kevesh, Hu Male Osama Gami Mizbeach. This fourth lottery was not for that purpose. It was the Kohanim that participated in the second lottery. It was those Kohanim that brought those items, the limbs and the like, and put them on the ramp. Now that they have said Kriyat Shema and done a partial davening, they will simply continue. Those same Kohanim are going to bring those items, the limbs and the like, up from the bottom of the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach and will offer it. And according to this sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he was of the view that the fourth lottery was used for deciding who would take the coals from the outer Mizbeach and bring them for purposes of the Ketores into the inner Mizbeach and Emir Zeshem. We will get back to that point shortly. Mishnah Gimel discusses those Kohanim who did not win any of the Paisos, any of the lotteries. So as we said earlier in the Masechta, the Kohanim would wake up early, they would tova b'mikvah, they would go and change into the priestly garments in anticipation of doing the avoda, but not everyone won the avoda. We had four different lotteries. Some won, but some did not win any of the lotteries, and accordingly, they have to take off the Bigdei Kahuna, because you're only allowed to wear the Bigdei Kahuna if you're participating in the avoda, but otherwise, you can't use it as your own clothing. It is specific for when you are participating in the avoda, the Beis HaMikdash. So those Kohanim that did not win anything, there would be assistants there in the Beis HaMikdash who would remove the Bigdei Kahuna from them. Just on a high level, there were actually four different garments that were worn by the Kohanim. For the regular Kohanim, not talking about the Kohen Gadol, the hat, a belt, a robe, and what's called the michnasayim, those are the pants. Now, all of these are Bigdei Kahuna, these are holy, they are sanctified. And at this point, Misarum Lachazanayim, when it became clear who won the four lotteries, and those who had not won the four lotteries, these Kohanim who did not win were handed over to the Chazanim. They were the appointed people who would assist. And there was a specific Kohen that was responsible for the clothing, the Bigdei Kahuna. So this was his assistants, Misaram the Chazanim, Hayu Mafshitin, Osam es Bigdeim. And they would take off three of the four garments of the Kohanim. They would take off the hat, belt, and robe, leave on the Michnasayim, V'lo Hayu Manichim Aleim, Ela Michnasayim Bilvad. They would leave the pants on. And because that would be a bit of a bizayin, a bit of a disgrace to the Kohanim to take the pants off as well, they would take off the three first garments, and then at that point the Kohen would put on his own clothing, would put on his own robe, and then he would take off the michnasayim, he would take off those priestly garments, the trousers, the pants, and they would all be handed in. Now they would all have specific places that they would be put. Very interesting that there were cubby holes. It's called the chalonos hayusham, cubbies or closets that were there in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were divided up. Each mishmar, there were 24 mishmaros, so then that means there was 24 different groupings of Kohanim that would serve for a week at a time. So effectively, each one would serve for 2 full weeks approximately, every week. Now, each mishmar had their own cubbies, and they needed four different cubbies, one for each of the different types of the bigdei kahuna. So there was a cubby for the hat, and there was a cubby for the belt, and a cubby for the robe, and a cubby for the pants. And each mishmar had each of those four sets of the closets of the cubby. So it's 24 mishmaros, 24 groupings of kohanim that would serve out a week at a time, times four for the four different cubbies that would hold it. Each had its different type of clothing. There were 96 of these chalonos, the chalonos hayusham, the kasuv aleihem tashmishei hakelim, and it was written on each of them which type of garment was kept in that closet. So each was labeled. They knew which was each mishmar, and each mishmar, within each mishmar, each of the closets were labeled with the type of the clothing that it held for the next time the kohanim would be using them. Mishnah Daled discusses the ketores that was done on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that was done on the inner altar, and it's talking about how the ketores was transported, because on the one hand, it's very interesting, there was a mitzvah to have the ketores heaped up in the kli shares, in the vessel that it was held in, because that was more kavodik. You don't want to have a vessel that's half full or partially full. It looks beautiful to have a fully heaped up vessel in order to transport the ketores. On the other hand, if you do that, if it's fully heaped up, then you are going to be dropping some of the ketores along the way, and that's not the proper thing to do. That's a disgrace to the ketores. Accordingly, they worked out a system that they had two kelim. One was larger, one was smaller, and the smaller one, called the bazach, that's the smaller one, was heaped all the way up. But that, because of the risk of some of the ketores falling out, they held that smaller kli, that bazach, it's like a small spoon or a large spoon, in a ladle-like item called the kaf. And that ladle that it was in was much larger, and that was ensured that the ketores wouldn't fall off on the ground. So if it fell out of that bazach, the smaller one, the more like a spoon, it would fall into the larger one, into the kaf, into the ladle, and not onto the ground. So Mishnah Daled says as follows, Mishasacha b'ketores, that coin that won the ketores, that would be allocated in lottery three, Hayanotel es hakaf, he would take the large ladle, v'hakaf domele sarkav gadol shel zahav, and this kaf, this large ladle, looked like a kli called a tarkav, a large tarkav made of gold, and it would hold machzik shloshas kavin, it would hold three kavin, so it's fairly large, v'abazach, that's the smaller spoon, hayabisocha, was inside of it, and it was the smaller spoon that held the ketores, malei v'gadush ketores, it was full, and gadush means it was heaped up full of ketores, and again, we had this two kli system. The inner one, the smaller one, had the ketores inside of it heaped up. That was the kavod. And we had the larger one that it was in case the ketores fell, or some of it fell out, that it wouldn't fall on the floor. V'kisui ha'yalo, and it was the larger kaf, the larger ladle had a covering on it that they would cover up. U'kamin mituteles haya ala milamalan, and also had a ring on the top. It was functioned like a handle that they would open and close it via that mituteles, via that ring. Mishnah Hay continues discussing the ketores, and in fact, it wasn't only one coin that was necessary for the ketores. There were two kohanim that were necessary, as we spoke in the prior Mishnah. One of the kohanim carried the ketores in the two ladles, one small spoon, one ladle. He carried the ketores itself, and that was going to be used to be burnt on the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar inside the Heichal. But there was also another kohen that was necessary to bring the coals that would be used as well, and that is the subject of this Mishnah. Mishazaka, Mishnah, hey, Mishazaka b'machta nata machta ta kesef, the kohen who merited to carry the shovel. Now, this was not part of the pais, this was not part of the lottery. The lottery was the kohen who was actually carrying the ketores and burning the ketores. This is talking about somebody, another kohen who would assist in the Bar Tanura. It says that he was chosen by the kohen who won the lottery for the ketores. He would choose somebody to assist him in carrying the coal. So that kohen that was chosen, mi shezacha b'machtat, the one that merited to be chosen to carry the shovel, not al machtas hakesef, he would take a silver machtas, silver shovel, ba'ala l'rosh ha-mizbeach, and he would go up to the top of the mizbeach, and now he would choose the best of the coals. He wanted really burnt up coals, well formed coals. So fina sa gechalim helach ve'elach, he moved the coals from this place to that place. He wanted to separate the upper ones to get to the more to develop coals underneath. Vechasa, he scooped up some of the coals. Ve'yarad ve'eran le'sof shel zav, and he went down the kevesh, he went down the ramp, and now he's going to pour it into a gold shovel instead of using the silver shovel. Why was that done? So you start with a silver shovel because the fire, the coals would decay the shovel that was used, and there's a concept that Chazal or the Torah, Chasal Mamonim Shal Klal Yisrael, the Torah was careful to not waste the money of Klal Yisrael, so don't use a gold shovel on the altar itself, on the Mizbech itself, to scoop up the coals, because it would degrade and get ruined. Accordingly, use a silver one, and only thereafter would pour it into a gold one. Now, there was a difference in the sizes. The one that was silver was larger. It was the size of 4 kav, and the one that was gold that was poured into was the size of 3 kav. Accordingly, when you pour it from the larger one into the smaller one, there was an excess of a kav of coals that would fall on the floor. Nispazer mimenu kekav gechalim, it would fall on the floor. That extra kav, v'hayam echabdan le'ama, and on a weekday, the kohen would sweep it into the little stream that went through the Azara, that went through the Beis HaMikdash, so no one would step on them and burn their feet. Shabbos, you couldn't do that because the coals were muksa. Accordingly, u'b'Shabbos hayakofe aleim psachter, on Shabbos, he would cover it with a large pot, as we will see shortly. This was a multi-purpose pot. It had 3 uses. Upsachter haisa kli gado mechazekes lesach. It was a very large pot. It would be able to hold even in excess of a lesach. It held a lesach, which is in excess of 50 gallons. And now we're going to talk about how this pot was formed. And one of the main functions, and we'll see that there are 3 functions, was carrying the extra ash from the Mizbeach. Now, we talked about the mitzvah of Chuma Sedeshen, the first of the Paisim, that was the first of the lotteries, was carrying the Chuma, some of the ash off the Mizbeach. That was just a tiny portion of it. We also talked about in this Masechta, when you had a lot of ash, you would pour it onto, you would pile it up into the middle of the Mizbeach, onto what's called the Tapuach. So we're talking about that ash now, that they used to take that ash off in this lesach, in this pot as well, in this psachter, in this pot as well. So it was a huge pot. It was so heavy, you needed 2 kohanim carrying it. As follows, deshar shiras hayubad, had 2 chains, one in the front, one in the back, so that the 2 kohanim could carry it, one leading, going down the ramp, and one following and back. Achashu moshech ba'aviyorad, one would be literally be carrying it, would be drawing it towards him and going down. That was the coin in the front, going down the ramp. Ba'achashu ochez ba'milamala and bishul shalotis kalgel, and the second one would hold it from above. That had the chain in the back. He would hold it there in order for the pot to not roll down. So they had to hold it from the front, from the back, make sure it did not fall. Very heavy. And now we say, in fact, this pot, this psachter, had 3 different uses. Number one was kofin osal gabe gechalim. They would cover up those gechalim, those coals that fell on Shabbos. They would cover them up because they could not sweep them. They were miksa. And also, vala sheretz b'Shabbos. If you find a sheretz, a dead rodent, a creeping crawling thing in the Azara, in various places, in the Beis HaMikdash, you would be required to remove it because it's tomb of the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos, it's muksa. Accordingly, they would cover it up with this pot, with the psach there. So that's the second use. And the third use, we really mentioned already, a moridin by Sadesh and Malgabe HaMizbech, it was used to take out that extra ash, all the ash that would accumulate in the tapuach area of the Mizbech, in the middle of the Mizbech. They would use this psach there to remove all of that ash. Mishnah Vav continues talking about those 2 Kohanim that were dealing with the Ketores. One of them was holding the Ketores itself. As we talked about, he had a small spoon inside of a larger ladle to ensure that the Ketores would not fall on the ground. And the second Kohen that we just talked about in the prior Mishnah was carrying the coals from the Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach, and now it has been put on the bottom of the Kevesh at the bottom of the ramp into a golden shovel, and now they are walking together. Higiyu bein ha'ulam v'lemizbeach. They got together between the ulam. Inside of the ulam is where the benizbeach hapnimi, the mizbeach hazahav, is, and the mizbeach itself. So they're outside still. They haven't entered yet, and they're in that area. And one of them, natal echad es hamagrefa. One of them would pick up the magrefa. Magrefa is actually one of the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. It was a large instrument. And it was, it looked like a shovel, and it was used to make noise, make music, and a lot of loud noise as well. It was used to be thrown for a specific purpose. So the Mishnah says as follows, Natal echad amagrefa, one of them took that musical instrument that was in the form of a shovel, Vizorka bein ha'ulam lezmeach, and he would throw it in the area between the ulam and the mizbeach where they were located. And it was so loud, the noise, and we'll see the reason for doing this. Ein adam shomea kol chaveiru b'yushalayim kol amagrefa, because it made such a loud noise when it was thrown and it landed on the ground, that if somebody is speaking to his friend anywhere in Yerushalayim, is talking about the old city of Yerushalayim, that's what Yerushalayim was and is halachically, that is this special kedusha of Yerushalayim. If somebody was speaking to his friend, you could not hear them talking, you couldn't hear your friend speaking to you because the noise that came from the throwing of that magrefa, shlosha dvarim, haisa mishamesha, there were actually three purposes that they used that magrefa for, making that large noise to put various people on notice as to where things were standing in the avoda of the day in the Beis Hamikdash. Number one, kohen sheshomeis kola, yodea she'echav ha'kohanim nichnasim lishtachavos. When the kohen heard that noise, and he wasn't around, he was a little bit further away, he knew that his brethren, the kohanim that were working for the day, they were about to go into the heichal to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and accordingly, he wasn't in the vicinity, v'hu ratzu ba, he would run quickly and come in order to participate and go into the ulam together with them in order to bow. That was actually done right after the offering of the ketores, right after the offering of the incense. So we have this big noise, the two kohanim dealing with the incense, the ketores, they're alerting everyone that they are about to go in and light the incense and deal with the incense, offer the incense, and various things have to happen at that point. Right after that is when the kohanim go in, and we have to put all of the kohanim on notice that they need to come on in to be ready to be mishtachave in the Eichel. Number two reason for making that big booming noise with the magrefa, number two, is for the Levim. The first one was for the Kohanim, the second was for Ben Levi. Shuhu shomea es kola, yodea she'achav ha'levim nichnasim ledaber b'shir. So Levi was outside of the chatzar, outside of the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. He would be put on notice then. He's supposed to be participating. We're talking about the Kohanim and Levim are supposed to be working at that time, but this Levi was out of the chatzar. He was put on notice that the Levim would be going in to begin chanting their songs of the day, and that would happen right after the wine libation, v'hu ratzuba, and he too would run immediately and come to be able to participate. And number three, v'rosh ha'mamad, different explanations what the rosh ha'mamad, but one primary one is that this was the kohen that was responsible for the day's avodah. See, he was part of the group that was working on that day in the Beis Hamikdash, so he was orchestrating things in charge. V'rosh ha'mamad kuma amid es ha'tmeim b'shar ha'mizrach. What he would do is he would stand and have the tmeim, we're talking about the kohanim, which were tmeim, not involved in the avodah of the day, they would, he would bring them into the shar ha'mizrach, or have them stand at the shar ha'mizrach that was at the eastern gate. Now we're going to look into the Bar Tanur, fascinating thing. What is this talking about? The kohanim who are tmeim, and why is he putting them there at that gate? So we're going to look at two different explanations. So he brings the three explanations, the Rambam as well as the third one. We'll look at two explanations based on the Gemara. Yisda Amri Kedei Levayish, on one point here, one of the reasons to bring those Kohanim there to Tumeim was in order to embarrass them, Lohodia Shemibnei Tumas Keri Hudnimna La'avod, to put everyone on notice. Why isn't this Kohen being working on the day? This is the day he's supposed to be working, and why is he not even able to come into the Beis Hamikdash? Because he had a tumas keri, he had an emission, and he's not allowed to do the avodah, and we want to inform him and somewhat embarrass him, kedeshi yizar pamacher, so he should be careful to ensure that he doesn't become tamei the next time or another time. So number one is to make a somewhat of a public display of this coin, really to alert him as to the severity of what happened to him, the tumah that he had, and accordingly you have to be extra careful it doesn't happen again. V'isda amri, second explanation, mipnei chashad. This is cuts in a very different direction, is because we don't want people to be choshed, like choshed b'ksherim. We don't want people to have chshad about these kohanim. Shelo yechashdu shemelachto halach v'niach levad. That people shouldn't think that this kohen, why don't we see him working in the base of Mikdash today? Maybe he went to his day job. Maybe he's earning money elsewhere and he's not doing the avodah in the base of Mikdash. That's what people are going to think. So we are actually putting people on notice that it's not to embarrass him whatsoever. It's to tell people that he's not trying to skirt his duties and run out of town and make money or whatever other activity. The reason that this Kohen is not participating in the avodah of the day is because he became Tommy by touching a rodent or whatever other type of tumah that it was, but they should not think that he is doing something wrong. So we have two very interesting explanations, and bottom line here is that at that point, when that noise from the Magrefa happened, that is when the Rosh HaMamad, as we said in the Mishnah, the third purpose, the head of the Kohanim of the day, he would put the Kohanim or Tumeim at that point at the Shar HaMizrach, and we brought two different explanations for why that would be done.